Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in a series on the greatest commandment, the greatest thing that God has asked of us, the most important concept. And this morning, session seven, of entitled, He Loves Us in Our Weakness. Oh, this is such good news for us. He loves us in our weakness. You know, the funny thing about weakness is it's a common reality. I have yet to meet a strong person. I mean, some people fake it a little bit. But everybody has got this weakness factor. I'll give you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. The law appoints a high as high priests men in all their weakness. Now think about that. This was under the Old Testament law. These were supposed to be like, this is the holiest guy on the planet. Okay? The high priest was supposed to be the one in closest proximity to God. He's the only one who would get to actually enter into the full presence of God and come behind the curtain one day a year. The high priest, this is like the man, was appointed with all of his deficiencies, all of his weaknesses, all of his humanity, all of his just like you-ness. I love that. The pointing out of the high priest was a weak man. Next, the fact of human weakness. It's universal. There is no one who can escape this. Weakness shows up in many ways in our physical capacities, our mental capacities. I'm struggling with that one. I was staring at something this morning for like 5 minutes trying to remember what I was doing. I was like, what am I even doing? The weakness shows up in areas of sin, in areas of just human frailty. It shows up in a lot of ways. I like the way that verse reads, all their weaknesses. Like, it's not just one area. It's lots of weakness. Weakness over here, weakness over here, because we're not God. There is no one who's God except God. God's the only one not weak. Everybody else is weak. And that's, like, we need to kind of get used to that instead of trying to pretend that we're not. We need to actually figure out, like, the storyline, the way he wrote it, in order to be able to embrace really who we are and what he wants for us. Jesus faced human weakness. I mean, if you're God and you had a poopy diaper, that's an expression of weakness, okay? Jesus had poopy diapers. I mean, we need to get over this. Like, we need to understand, if you pooped yourself, that is a weak thing, okay? I mean, that is not a point of strength. We are talking about we are talking about weakness at every level. Look at this. Jesus, Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. But the fatigue, all the weakness, even in the garden, he's like, Father, take this cup from me. Okay, don't, but would you, but don't, but, weakness. Jesus, as a human, had to deal with, in fact, he couldn't be our substitution if he didn't struggle with all the weakness that we struggle with, if he didn't know it. But we don't have a high priest like that. We've got one that's able to empathize with all of our human weakness. It's very important. Psalm 103, 13 through 14. I just love this. This is the greatest thing ever. The Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He knows. He made you out of dust. Like, that is not a particularly strong item to build something out of, okay? Just go to your house, find all the dust bunnies, all right, up on the top shelves, you know, go to all the windowsills and scoop it up, you know, grab all of it together and then make something. Wow, what have you done? That is, first of all, it doesn't look anything like you say it does. That's just a ball of yuck, okay? Second, it's frail and blows away. I mean, this is the picture. He says, God knows that we're dust. Here's the important part. He made you that way on purpose. It's not like he found you made of dust and then went, oh my gosh, what a despisable little thing you are. He made you out of dust. It's like you're not made of awesome. I made you out of like just stuff, mush. I made you, but it was me. I made you on purpose weak. So your weakness is not because you're bad or deficient, or you're weak because God made you that way on purpose. It's important to know that. Now, it doesn't get us off the hook, but it does allow us to kind of recognize, oh my gosh, this is just how it is. Weakness is the common human experience. It's a universal truth. You're a weak person. I know, because so was Jesus. I know, because the high priest, it's universal. You are but dust. That's how he made you. And he thought it was a great idea. You know, he could have made you superhuman. He could have made you, you know, some sort of awesomer stuff instead of dust. He could have, you know, picked concrete. Man, how fun would that be? But he didn't. He chose dust. That's the reality. He made you so frail, so weak, and it was him that did it. I just want us to understand this. You were made the way you were made by God, and God defines the way that God made you as he made you weak. So everybody can just take a deep breath and go, it's okay. I'm jacked up. God made me this way. God made me weak. I got problems, I got issues, I got deficiencies, I got love handles, I got issues. God made me a weak thing. It's so important that we understand that. But check this out. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. See, this is the key. God doesn't want us to be gods. He doesn't want us to be superhuman things. He wants us to be super leaners, those that know how to lean on the one who is God. He created us weak so that we need him. He created us weak so that we wouldn't get a big head. He created us weak because he says he anoints and blesses and strengthens the humble, but he actually opposes the proud. Can you just imagine a wad of dust figuring out a way to get a fist out of there and shaking it at God? God is like, no, I don't want you shaking your fist at me strong. I want you leaning in, fully embracing the fact that you're a weak thing that I made, and I want you leaning because I will help you in your weakness. I don't want you figuring this out on your own. I don't want you strong in your own strength. I want you weak and leaning. Because when we lean on God, then we get God's strength. Do you know an ounce of God's strength is infinitely more than a lifetime of your own? Like, this is the model. Even Jesus said, I don't make up the plan. I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. That's weakness. Well, you don't have a decision. You can't make decisions for yourself. You can't lead. Aren't you God? Can't you just do whatever you want? Yeah, but I know how to lean on God, and that's where the strength comes. So the Holy Spirit will help us in our weakness. See, this is the counterbalance. It's not just that we're weak. It's that we're weak with a way out. It's not just that you're weak, but you are weak. And the more that we have a self-revelation of that weakness, the better off we are. Because when we think we're strong, we get prideful, and then God actually starts to oppose us. I don't want to be opposed by God 1 minute, one day. I want to come in here. You know how many times I've preached? It would be so easy for me to just go, I've preached so many times, I'm just going to come and preach because I'm a good preacher. I come in here and I go, oh God, please help me preach. Oh God, please help me. Because I want his help. I don't want you to be benefited by whatever strength I don't have. I want you to be touched by God through my efforts. See, that's what we want to be doing. We want to be leaning. We want to go, Holy Spirit, help me in my weakness. I'm a weakie. Weakie right here. Signing up. Help a weakie. Help a weakie out. And the Lord's like, oh, I love it. That's actually the plan. I don't like it when you do the other version with your job. with your relationships, with your finances. I actually don't like the other version. When you try to do it in your own strength, I want you to call yourself weak and ask me who is strong for my help, and then I'll help you in your weakness. And then we'll be able to get some stuff done. Because I made you dust. I just love to anoint dust to get stuff done. I hate it when dust shakes its fist at me. See, this is the reality. This is where it's at. This is the relationship. Weak, leaning, needy, trusting, reaching. And he says, I will anoint the heck out of that. I will give all day long to a humble heart. I made you weak. Don't think you're strong. Instead, in your weakness, reach. Well, it's kind of funny when we have a little bit of a revelation of our own weakness that could possibly be likable by anybody, let alone God. How could God like this wad of dust? Like, it's really not that phenomenal on a good day, let alone the bad ones. How could God like this? But you know what God says about us? I love this. Song of Solomon 1:5 says, I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Dark but lovely. This twofold picture, because this is the way the Lord sees us. The Lord says, you got a little darkness in there, don't you? Oh, yes, Lord. There's a lot of darkness in there. I'm not real excited about that darkness. Yes, Lord, it's real. I own it. I'm not trying to hide it. I've got darkness. I've got dark thoughts. I've got dark reactions. I've got dark. He says, good. I'm glad you've honestly self-assessed. You are dark, but lovely to me. It turns everything that we know upside down on its head, because we're so used to lovely but lovely. You know, that's lovely, so it's lovely. We don't look at dark stuff and go, that's lovely. Our minds are not renewed like that. We see darkness and we go, dark equals dark. Lovely equals lovely. And God goes, you are both. And it's important that we have that revelation. This is God enjoying us in the midst of our deficiencies. Lovely? Called lovely by God? Even with your crud? Like, you're a bunch of crudful people. I know, because I'm one. He says, I look at you and I see the darkness. I know your sin. I know your weakness. I know what you want, but you don't pull off. I know. But I call you lovely. I also esteem that in the midst of that weakness, there's a reach for me, and I love you for it. I love you. Dark, but how? Oh my gosh. We just imagine the only way God could see us with a smile is when we had a good day. We just imagine the only way that it could be that God would enjoy us is if we were doing everything right. He's like, I made you so weak, you could never do everything right. It would be impossible. I won't let it happen. In fact, if you ever try to figure it out, I'm going to knock it over like a bunch of blocks. See what they did, what God did to the Tower of Babel? It's like, I'm not going to let you be awesome. I actually want you weak and leaning, and there you'll find strength. Psalm 130, 1-4. Out of the depths, I cry to you. Oh, this is honest prayer. This isn't the depths of love. This is the depths of dumb. This is dumb decisions recently made. This is the depths of I've made poor decisions. I've had bad things happen to me. I'm in a bad place. I'm not in a good way. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. When I'm in the depths, when I'm in darkness, when I'm in dumb and sin, in weakness, if you, Lord, kept the record of my sins, oh, Jesus, I would not be able to stand. It would not be good for me. If you kept the record of everything I have done, my sin, my darkness, the deep things that I've done, if you kept the record, I couldn't stand. But with you, there is forgiveness. With you, there is forgiveness. Leaning into the love of God. I just want to tell you, if you try to fix everything to come to God, 20 years from now, you're still going to be trying to fix everything to come to God. You just need to come to God from your depths. I mean, every dorky thing you've done. And it might be a list. You might go, you don't know the stuff I've done. Well, somebody does, and he still likes you. He says, yeah, dark. That list of stuff you're talking about, yeah, it's dark. That is dark stuff. But I see your heart. And to me, you are both dark and beautiful. You are desirable, lovely. I love you even though you are dark. And I'm not getting rid of the dark. You are dark, but lovely. When we come to him like this, man, it's powerful. He will receive you, not because you're good, but because he's good. He will receive you. You can grow in love. That's the journey. Philippians 2:1, I just want to steal a phrase out of it because it's such a fun idea. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, we can have comfort from his love. There is such a thing as being in the middle of the day on a Tuesday and being comforted by the fact that God is this way, that God is like this, that you can fellowship with that. You can feel comfort. I don't know about you. I like to be comfortable. I don't like uncomfortable. The heater in the lobby is broken, and I start crying about it. I was like, hey, we got to fix the heater in the lobby. It's cold. The bathroom's cold. I like comfort. We're creatures that like comfort if we can help it. To be comforted by the love of God, to have access to that, for that to be such a thing, it's the revelation that he's like this. It's not your merit. It's not you. You can grow in the love of God by simply recognizing he is love. He's like this, and he'll give it to me because even though I'm dark, he still likes me. Even though I've got sin and weakness, I got issues, I got motives and thoughts that I wish, oh, I got stuff that came out of my mouth. I was like, no, come back. Oh. You didn't hear that, did you? Your ears are bad, right? You didn't, okay, good, good. Just making sure. Lord, anoint their ears to not hear what I just said. I've prayed that prayer. Yes, I have. I have prayed that. They're like, oh, Jesus, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. Oh, that was so bad. So dark. And the Lord's like, yep, dark but lovely. Congrats. You're getting it. Even in the midst of that, we can take comfort from his love. It's real. Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Because we're smart? Because we're awesome? Because we made 10 good decisions and only made one bad one? No. Because he's like this. He's like this. He sees you in your weakness, and he is not afraid of it. And he will rejoice over you with a glad heart. Yes, dark. And yet he rejoices in you gladly. What makes God sing? I mean, if you're God, what gets you start singing a tune? You do. He sees you. And it says he will rejoice over you with singing. Rejoice over you with singing. I think the greatest thing that we can do to cooperate with this is to stop thinking it's about how awesome we can become and start thinking about how awesome he is and reaching for that. God, we just want more of you. I mean, remember, the greatest commandment is love God. The greatest commandment isn't be awesome. The greatest commandment is weak thing made of dust, reach. Love God, dust bunny. Love God. And that's the greatest commandment. Guys, this got real simple. What is life about? How many years you got? You got 60, 90, 120? How long are you gonna live? Your life is to be weak and to reach every day. And then in your weakness, when you didn't reach yesterday, repent and reach today. That's life. Reach for love. God is love. Reach for him. I can't believe that he likes us in our weakness. He loves us. We're his favorite thing. We're what he talks to the angels about. He loves us. Frailty of our love. Oh, so frail. Our love for Jesus. Because we've had days where we were like, we were loving him, right? Like we had it that day, that one time. And then tomorrow it's like, dang, what derailed me? Like, it's so frail. It looks good on the day we're doing good. Hands are up, the smile's on, the response is right. You gave to that need or that thing. You did it. You're like, oh. And the next day, so falls Caesar. I mean, it's like the pride comes before the fall. I mean, the next day you're just like, oh man, I can't believe I did this and I said that and I took the money back. I stole it right back from that person. I gave it to him. I mean, it's like, dang, our love is weak. Look at this. Jeremiah 2:2, the Lord says, I remember the devotion of your youth. How as a bride, you loved me and followed me through the wilderness. I'm going to talk about that devotion of youth. I want to talk about it as immature and untested love that he still loves. See, there's a difference between mature love and immature love that's still sincere. So I don't want to talk about insincere love. That has no place in any conversation anywhere for anybody that loves Jesus. I don't want to talk about insincere love. I want to talk about varying degrees of sincere love. It's sincere. It just happens to be really immature and a day old. You just got saved. Or you've been saved for a while, but you kind of been squandering that gift God gave you and you have just not been growing. Either way, your love is immature. You know, God says, I see it. The devotion of your youth. I see even the weak reaches in your immature love. If it's sincere, it counts to God. One of the things that's interesting is others might see it and scorn you for it. That could happen. Because it may not look like real love. It may not look mature. It may not look authentic. But God says, I see your heart. If the love is sincere, and only you and him know, and you know, you can't tell him, God, this is sincere love. If it's not, you can't even get it out of your mouth. Because you get like cut to the heart. You're like, yeah, no, it was bad. It's just darkness. I got nothing today. You know when it's not sincere. But when it's sincere, even when it's immature, even when it hasn't been tested yet, it's so fun to me. Watch somebody come to Jesus and their heart comes alive and they are all in to the extent of they're all in. But man, it hasn't been tested yet. And I just see it and I'm like, sweetheart, you got so much in your future. You've got some real opportunities to show love. You got some opportunities because in a minute, something bad's going to happen in your life. And you're going to decide, do you turn to God or do you turn to fist throwing? Dust shaking its fist at God. Which one are you going to do? Love that's tested. Oh, so precious, so beautiful. But untested love that's sincere is beautiful to him. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. If it's sincere, it counts. Even weak love. So now let's say you've been a believer for a while. You're loving Jesus, but your reach is not, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 1. But it's a 1. He says, I see that reach of love and I love it. Yeah, I want to see that mature. Yeah, I want to see that grow. But even weak love is real love. Weak love. See, we need to be encouraged that what we have counts and that it can grow. We need to not only be able to self-assess and esteem level 10 love, we need to be able to esteem level 1 love and go, oh God, it's just so weak. Water that thing, would you? Make that love bigger. It's a weak love. And God says, but I love it. He says, it counts to me. Psalm 40, verse 17. As for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. I'm weak. I'm not much. My love is not much. This is a psalmist. This is a full-time priest in the house of the Lord writing this song. Now, what life season was he in that he says, I'm poor and needy. Oh, but God, I know you. Think about me and smile and sing over me with gladness. Think on me. Your love, if it's sincere, is beautiful. sincere and untested, sincere and immature, sincere and weak, sincere and a little bit more than weak, but still pretty weak. He says, I see it. I esteem it. It counts. Dark but lovely. That reach is beautiful. In my opinion, the love that Jesus gets, the best love, in my opinion, is weak love reaching. Strong love reaching, you kind of would expect. Because it's kind of easier. I mean, when you've got a measure of strength of reaching and love, but weak love reaching, I just think all the angels are like, dang. Weak love reaching. I mean, so if you go, man, my love is weak, would you just reach? Do you know how much glory you give him when you reach from that place of weak love? Oh, it's beautiful because it's unexpected. And it's harder. It's not refined and matured, and you don't have all the history to lean on. You don't have all the confidence yet that says it's real, this works, God's really pleased by this. If you're weak and you reach, I think it's the greatest expression of love that he can receive. That's good news for a room full of weak people, right? Reach for him in your weak love. It is an honor. Psalm 18, verse 19. This is David. We've talked about this verse before, but I just tonight, or today, this morning in this message on weakness, I just couldn't neglect it. This is David right in the middle of a season of compromise where he was doing the thing God said, don't do that. He was doing, I don't mean the Bathsheba thing. This was a season where he was where he shouldn't be, running away, scared, not doing what he was supposed to be doing, hiding out in a cave. And he says this in the midst of that season, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I was in compromise, and the way I got out of compromise was God's delight brought me out of that into a connected place with him. God went hunting for the one whose heart wasn't even pursuing him in that moment. God delights in your weak, in you, even in your weakness, even in your compromise. He delights in you and wants better for you. See, God's always on this trajectory, this upward motion. He's always on trying to pull you up and set you on your path and your destiny and your purpose. He's always on trying to get you growing in love and knowing him and walking with him. Even in your compromise, even in your weakness, he delights in you. Guys, that word delight, it's mind-boggling. We just think it ought to say tolerates. Even in my weakness, he tolerates me because he's so good. That would be pretty good. That would be a good deal. This deal is impossible. While weak, while compromising, while sinful, delighted in, delighted, like big, bright eyes, happy, smiley face, delighted in? Guys, this is what we've signed up for. Delighted in by the living God, even in the midst of our weakness. He is committed to this game plan too. You know, he came up with this. Nobody talked him into this. It wasn't like a bunch of people on a board all presented ideas on how God could orchestrate life and humanity and everything. Before he created humans, he created this whole plan. The whole plan was already there. It was in his heart. He's like, I just can't wait to make some dust and love it and celebrate when it just dusts and weak reaches at me. It's my favorite thing. I just can't wait for weak dust to reach. What? That is mind-blowing. He came up with this plan. He's committed to it too. It's remarkable. He is committed to our failing flesh. How many times have you, I mean, it's New Year's, right? So, how many are you thinking about last New Year's and the resolutions you made? How many of them fell flat on their face? How many times you've made those commitments? I'm not going to do this anymore. How many times you've been like, I'm doing this. This is me now. This is the real me. And it's like, yeah, some of y'all are laughing because it was you today on your way here. It's like, and you're like, ah, fall on your face. He is committed to your failing flesh. This plan is a contingency for your weakness, for my weakness. It's the way out. He made us weak, but he gave us an out. Lean. Lean not on your own ability and strength and capacities. Lean on him. He is so committed. Let's put up that verse in 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you. Because let me tell you how this works. My power is made perfect in your weakness. I don't get to show off my power if you're strong, because then I only added a little bit to what you already had. But if you're weak and a train wreck and a mess, then when I show my power, it's perfected because all of angels and demons go, no way did you just accomplish that thing through that weak ball of dust. No way. He says, my grace is enough for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness, because that's where we get stuff done. Because that's where God shows up. That's where people get touched. I don't want to leave behind the imprint of me. I want to leave behind the imprint of God. He just chooses to use weak things so that Christ's power may rest on me. I don't want Brad's power resting on Brad. I want Christ's power resting on me. The way that it happens is in weakness, leaning and asking him for the goods. In weakness. And guys, and I'm thinking specifically about our love. Not mostly our activities. This is a series on the greatest commandment. I'm thinking about how do we love him in our weakness. He says, it's okay, I can help you with this. Well, let's learn how to lean. If we are going to get good at anything, let's learn how to get good at God helping us love God. Not I'm going to love God because I'm awesome. I'm going to love God because I've got the 10 principles. Let's get good, like really good. I mean, historically in humanity good at asking God to help us love God. That's how you'll get the furthest. You want to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You won't pull it off on your own. You're too weak. He made you dust. He did it on purpose. He built in a bomb into the whole thing. Your weakness will keep you from everything. Or you could turn around and go, God, my weakness is keeping me from everything. Will you help me? And he says, yeah, that was actually the plan. Paul, Romans 7, you just like, what did this dude do right before he wrote this letter? Romans 7, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do not, or for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is a man in a crisis. This is a man with a revelation of human weakness and a story to tell. I promise you, he's not just writing fluff. He's thinking about whoever he mouthed off, whatever dumb thing, whatever he did that morning was real and was weak and was sinful. You notice he said, the evil I don't want to do. I do evil. I, the Apostle Paul, do evil, and I don't want to do it. I'm a weak man. But I recognize that if I'll reach to God, he'll help me in my weakness, because that's the plan. You just imagine Paul befuddled after, you know, 30, 40, 50 years in the Lord and just like loving Jesus and all of his heart. He's an apostle. I mean, this guy's been going for it. You just imagine him going, how can I still be a mess after all these years? How can I still be so weak? God says, because I made you that way. I don't want you to be afraid of the weakness. I want you to respond to it rightly. But respond to it rightly does not mean, well, I'm weak, so I'm just going to get to murdering. I'm a terrible person, so I'm going to be terrible. I'm going to go on a terrible spree. Get to terribling. So no, you got to own that weakness and repent for it. In repentance and humility, the grace of the Lord comes. When you just say, I'm going to stick with it, that's even worse than trying to be righteous by yourself. Because if you're just like, I'm just going to resign to the sin, I'm just in it. Not only does God resist you, but then you get all the fruit of your wickedness. See, when you repent, the fruit goes away. Because 1 John 1, 9 says, if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when you sin, you have a responsibility. Repent. Own it. Did a dumb thing. Dummy Central right here. Now forgive Dummy Central and give me some grace, Lord. And help me not do the stupid thing tomorrow. The Lord says, ooh, I like that. That'll preach right there. I like it when you lean into me, when you trust that my grace is sufficient and my power is perfected in your dumbness, when you'll turn to me. Now, when you don't turn to God, you're just stuck with dumb. You don't get any redeemed dumb. You're just walking around a dummy. Now, listen, I'm telling you, this is really important. This is a really important detail because the difference between being sinful and okay with it and sinful and not okay with it is just aiming it at God and going, God, please forgive me. It's humility. Without that humility, I promise you, God will resist you. You won't grow in love. You'll wind up in hell eventually. You won't wind up anywhere you want to be. You cannot operate in pride. He wants us to live humble. It's really simple. Really, really. It gets so simple. He is God. I am not. He is righteous. I am not. He is wise. He is fill in the blank. What? I am not, but I know the one who is. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In those areas of weakness, whether it's physical strength, you can't get the thing done, or mental capacity, or sin issue, whatever your weakness is, he says, if you'll turn to me, I will help you. This lifestyle is supposed to be about weak people that God created weak on purpose, reaching to a strong God to get strength to live and to grow and to know him. And every time we get touched by that power, by that forgiveness, by that mercy, it causes our hearts, like the Grinch, to double in size, like our hearts to just abound in love for him because we look at it and go, I have won the lottery. I just can't believe I'm in a relationship like this. I have nothing to give. I cost him a lot. And he's excited about the deal. it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. So what do we do? Psalm 51, 7 through 12. This is what we do. We live this way. Oh, wait, no, I got to get that foolish one. Do the 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians, we get it up there? Yeah. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses dum-dums. It's his favorite. In order to shame what is perceived as wisdom, because that wisdom, it's a false wisdom that doesn't even lead to God, doesn't lead to salvation, doesn't lead to heaven, doesn't lead to good things. He says, I've actually chosen the foolish things. God chose the weak things. I am a weak thing chosen by God. God chose the weak things. You guys, we need to esteem this. We need to celebrate our weakness. That's where Paul was like, I'll celebrate my weakness because I recognize as a weak thing chosen by God, that's where the goods are. That's where it's at. That's where power is, capacity. That's where life in God. That's where love. That's where a heart made alive is. It's not in the celebrations of my strengths. It's in the celebrations of my weakness where I can go get the goods. He says, I chose you. I chose the weak things. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world so that no one may boast. So how do we do? Psalm 51, verse 7 through 12. Here's what we do. We live this way. Related to our love, our reach, our areas of sin, we have to own our sin. Stop saying you're not a sinner. There's no one good, no, not one. You've got sin. But don't just call yourself a sinner. Identify it. I have sinned in this way. I have done this thing. It's not right. It is not good. Sexual immorality is not good. Lying is not good. Greed is not good. Identify the sin. Call it sin. And then live this way. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me. Oh, God, please help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit that I would not be obstinate, hard-hearted, that I would not be a repeated offender. Grant me a willing spirit. Create in me a clean heart. You see this heart, right? And God's like, yep, dark, but lovely. Dark, but lovely. Create in me a clean heart. Give me a willing spirit. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you'll live this way, you'll be just fine. If you'll live this way, you'll grow in love. Repent very fast. You did something that God says don't do it. Don't put yourself in the shame box for an hour, a day, a week, or a month. Don't say, he couldn't forgive me because I just did the sin. In the midst of your sin, repent and find a way out of it. Or finish the sin and ask for forgiveness immediately and recognize how dumb it was you did the thing. Don't wait 10 seconds. 10 seconds is error. Repent right then. I said the thing. I did the thing. I looked at the thing. I couldn't believe I did the thing to the person. I didn't do the thing I knew I was supposed to do. Repent. If you walk in a clean spirit, you're going to constantly feel the affections of God. The greatest hindrance to you feeling God's love is your own shame. And the problem is, we all can feel that shame because we really did the stupid thing. The problem is, we're leaning on our own capacities instead of going, God is a good God who's willing to cleanse me from the stupid thing that I did. I did it. Cleanse me. Wash me. Help me. Heal me. You're cleansed, you're washed, you're healed, and now you can feel the affections of God again. And when you feel the affections of God, it makes you want to feel the affections of God. When you feel shameful, unfortunately, that tends to snowball too. He helps us in our time of need. I'm going to close out. Annie, come on up. Here's the deal. He loves us even in our weakness. I don't want us to pretend that we're not weak. I don't want us to pretend like we can't feel God's love. God loves you in the midst of your weakness. The solution is reach for his help and his strength instead of your own abilities.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.